This is my beginning. The line drawn in the sand. The end of all my striving. Now I am born again. That Jesus was forsaken. Grace is my salvation, the gift of God, the work of Calvary. It is done, it is finished. Christ has won, he is risen. Christ is here, love is triumphant. His mercy is complete. His love is not in question. The Son of God has spoken over me. It is done. It is finished. Christ has won.
Hi, I'm Lionel Rexonos here, and I've got good news for you. You've got to keep watching this space, all right? What's coming? It's the Influence of the Spirit podcast. You heard it right. The Influence of the Spirit podcast. We will be coming at you week after week with solid nuggets, solid points on how to increase your intimacy with the Holy Ghost, growing in revelation of who you are in Christ, just walking in that enhanced life, that spirit walk life. It's going to be exciting. So please follow me on all social media handles, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. This will be amazing. It will be wonderful to grow together with you, grow in the things of the Spirit and in our walk, you know, and continuous exercise in the Holy Ghost. So looking forward to having you follow all the conversations we'll be having. It will be amazing. Hi, my name is Lionel Rexonos here. Welcome to my YouTube channel. Here we will be having a solid time with God's Word. We will learn who we are in Christ. Listen, there's so much God has put within us that makes the new creation, that's the born-again person, the most treasured possession on this earth. Wow, yes, and that's it really. So much to uncover. Bible says that God has put so much treasure in us. We have treasure in this earthen vessel. Imagine us week after week, episode after episode, digging in by revelation, by the help of the Holy Ghost, into all those amazing truths on who we are, what God is to us, what Christ has done for us. Imagine how much we would be, you know, edified and transformed. So please subscribe to this channel and then just turn on notifications so that once anything drops, you will be the first to know. It will be awesome being in this community with you, looking forward to great times together. God bless you. All right. Welcome to the Influence of the Spirit. It is our regular hangout, weekly hangout. I believe you've been blessed in the past episodes. Just in case you've missed it, you're going to have a great time today. And then you could always please just get to our YouTube page, Lionel Rexonos, and then catch up on previous episodes. It's been exciting. It's been amazing. And I know you're going to have, all right, a pretty good time today, and you'll have a great time, all right, just running through the previous episodes that we have. Is that all right? So we've been talking this whole month of June about the spirit-filled believer, and one major thing we've learned is that to say, oh, I am spirit-filled, is not just a one-time experience. It's not that initial infilling of the Spirit where you talked in tongues maybe a couple of weeks or months, or probably, you know, loads of years back. No, it's a continuous walk, all right? You've got to be continuously filled with the Spirit. We saw in Acts 2, all right, on the day of Pentecost, when the apostles got filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said they got filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues. Then we get to Acts 4 while they were praying, and then they got filled with the Holy Ghost again. Same set of people, similar experience, all right? So you get filled again. We see Paul in Acts 19, all right, it was in Ephesus. And then he got 13 men filled with the Holy Ghost. All right. That, of course, was the beginning of the work in Ephesians. He went to the temple, all right, synagogue, and ministered to the people, took them to the school of Tyrannus for over 2 years. Hey, and then ministry began. Then he writes a letter, all right, the book of Ephesians, a letter to the Ephesian church. All right. And then he tells them to be filled with the Spirit. You're telling the people who were filled to be filled again. Guys, we see that, hey, you could be filled again and again and again. We've seen Peter filled the Holy Ghost. We've seen Paul filled the Holy Ghost beyond the initial time they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So you and I, all right, must tell ourselves the clear fact. We have to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. And the only way to get filled with anything, you got to keep drinking. You have to continue, all right, positioning yourself in prayer, all right, in praise and worship, and just stirring up that necessary spiritual atmosphere around yourself, and then you're just full of it. All right, so praise God. So this is important for us to see. But I particularly love Acts chapter 6, all right, where Bible is talking about the man called Stephen. So let's read that one. In Acts chapter 6, we see, all right, so there was a lot of complaint amongst the disciples. Their widows were being neglected in daily distribution of food. Verse 2 says, then the 12 called a multitude of disciples unto them, and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, look ye out amongst yourselves seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, whom we may appoint over this business. I've had to mention the fact that in a church of way over 5,000 people, well, over 8,000 people, Because 3,000 people had been born again first, and then another 5,000. Then we had a 120 from the Pentecost. So minimum right here, we have 8,120 minimum. God had been adding to them daily already. So we're talking about like maybe a 10,000 member church. And then they said, we need people of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Now, if everybody was full of the Holy Ghost all the time, we won't be looking for people full of the Holy Ghost. So that means we had to say, hey, let's check for them there. And are they filled with the Holy Ghost? Can we put them over this business? And it's amazing, all right? We need people to serve food. And then the major qualification is that they should be filled with the Spirit, have honest report, all right? And then have a lot of wisdom. Isn't that amazing? So, hey, Bible tells us here in the fourth verse, all right, but we will continue to give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Verse 5, and the same pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. That means when you're filled with the Spirit, it's evident. Stephen was known to be filled with the Spirit, all right? A man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And, all right, Philip and Prochorus. So Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. So the word of God increased, number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. So we see here that when you're full of the Holy Ghost, there are actions that follow. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, there are actions that follow. And it's amazing, all right? In Acts 2, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they spoke in tongues. Alright? We saw that in Acts chapter 19, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Alright? They spoke in tongues, and then they prophesied. In Acts chapter 10, in the house of Cornelius, they spoke in tongues, they magnified God. So when there's a feeling, when we get full of the Holy Ghost, certain things follow, certain things are noticed, certain things happen. So we find Stephen, they had picked him already as he's usually filled with the Holy Ghost, always topping up his tank, never running dry, never running low, obviously not allowing himself, all right, to get dry, depleted, all right, get depressed, get cranky, get swallowed up by life. No, he was always having that joy of the Lord, you know, always knowing how to deal with things, because this job they were given had to deal with people, all right? It's the daily distribution of food, all right? So we need food here, we need food there. Are those guys okay? Are these guys okay? That's like six, you know, I mean, seven people to administer, all right, an assignment, all right, and give food or make sure that over 8,000, about 10,000 people are well satisfied. They will need a lot of patience, a lot of self-control, a lot of forbearance. And that's why I believe the apostles said they need wisdom, all right? They need to be full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, and of course, honest report. They were obviously going to have to deal with resources, money, all right, foodstuffs and all. So they need to be trusted. So this is important for us to notice the qualities that they asked for and the kinds of people. Now, Stephen wasn't just full of the Holy Ghost before he was nominated. Bible lets us know he was still filled with the Holy Ghost, and then he kept on doing miracles amongst the people. That's amazing. So if he was full, alright, like a gas tank, fuel tank, it could be full, it could be half full, it could be empty, or it could allow it to run low. What were the things Stephen likely was doing? We had seen before now, alright, Paul was a person giving to prayer. Peter was a person giving to prayer. They were giving to the word of God. Like Peter said here, we cannot neglect prayer. We cannot neglect the word of God. So these activities we know because we had looked also, all right, maybe some kind of recap, right? We had looked at it, all right, from Colossians 3:16, when the word of Christ dwells richly in you in all wisdom, you'll be filled, all right? You'll be filled. When you're full of the word, you speak forth in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Ephesians 5:18 says, when you're full of the Spirit, you speak forth in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But one major focus we have today, should I say? Oh, well, we had started with already last week. And that's the fact that when you are filled, you speak forth. So, Ephesians and chapter 5 and 18. So, let's just run it this way. To Ephesians 5 and 18. So, Ephesians 5 and 18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So I said, alright, one of the things that happens when you're filled is you speak, alright, number two, you give thanks, number three, you submit. Now, submission is easy to teach or preach when you are the one everybody's submitting to, alright? It's a lot more difficult when you are the one who needs to submit and hear it, but because it's a context and a concept of love. So submission is basically just allowing. Submission is, alright, just give room for, give way, allow. Alright, so verse 21 here is mutual submission, submitting yourselves to one another. Alright, so it's mutual. It just means allow. It means, I mean, just give room to the other person. Alright, give room to the other person's opinion. Give room, just allow, just see what it is all about. Alright, so when we do that, or no matter who we are, then we learn, you know, because like I said last week, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it will be easy for you to get along with other people, and other people find it easy to get along with you, because you're not filled with yourself or filled with your opinion. Now, even if it's a business meeting and you're the boss and you have to say, well, final decision, this is it. Alright, it's your call, you're the boss. Alright, so the boss is the boss. The boss has to make a decision. Doesn't make the boss less feel the Holy Ghost because he has to make a decision. Maybe it's now how the decision was arrived at. Alright, that makes a whole world, you know, of difference about it. So one important thing we need to see. So speaking, giving of thanks. Always learn to be filled with thanksgiving. Always learn. Always learn to be filled with thanksgiving. Always, please. Alright, learn to always be grateful. And the truth is, the more you give thanks on your own, the more you find yourself bubble. Alright, Bible says in everything give thanks. So even when things don't go the way you want them to go, and you are almost drowning in sadness, almost drowning in bitterness, almost drowning, you know, in that gloomy blue feeling, the moment you begin to give thanks, you realize that there's a bubble. There's a bubble. There's first of all a change of perspective. You start seeing it in a different way. Alright, people even wonder, why are you grateful? Why are you glad? Now, I'm not glad that something bad happened. I have found a reason to be thankful despite the thing that has happened, in spite of the thing that has happened, in the midst of the thing that has happened. Alright, Paul and Silas didn't have the prison doors open, then they began to praise God. They prayed, sang praises, then the prison door opened. They just see differently. Alright, and praise differently. And that keeps you going because it's the joy of the Lord that is your strength, not circumstances, not situations, the joy of the Lord. Now, that joy is within you, but if your mind is focused too much on what's happening around you, you won't unlock it. You won't give room to it. It wouldn't find expression. But when you allow, so even when you feel down and you start saying, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I refuse to be sad. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God. You are good to me. Something begins to change about your perspective. Something begins to change about how you feel. Something changes about it. Something changes. So learning to speak, learning to give thanks, learning. But it's not even you learning. It's because you are filled. So it's a lot easy. Alright? You are filled. It's easy. But most times you don't even know that you can yield to it because you're not giving it room. But we're staying a lot more, you know, for the next few minutes, alright, at this 19th verse. We're staying on the 19th verse for the next few minutes. So let's see 19. Alright, so King James says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to your heart to the Lord. Now, that's King James. So I'll pick NLT. NLT says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourself, making music in your heart to the Lord. Alright, Passion Translation. And your heart will overflow with a joyful song to the Lord Jehovah. Keep speaking to each other with words of scripture, singing the psalms, alright, with praises and spontaneous, alright, songs given by the Spirit. I would like to lift the spontaneous songs given by Spirit. I was saying last week that when we say sing a new song, some just think, oh, sing the latest song in town, or just sing one, you know, song, you know, that nobody's heard. But, you know, no, it's everything happening here, alright, is predominantly inspired by the Spirit of God. Alright? Predominantly. The only thing that, alright, might be, oh, it was already noted before will be the Psalms, because the Psalms also here sometimes seem to point to the book of Psalms in the Bible, where you now go to the songbook of David, and this, you know, well, okay, though there were Psalms already that have been written, and you pick the Psalms and you sing Psalms, but the Holy Ghost also gives you Psalms. right? He gives you psalms. You could be in danger, like it's happened to David a number of times, and you begin to minister to the Lord, and then a psalm, a song of praise, sometimes like poetry, rises from your heart. Yes. As in like, yes, it will rise from your heart and it will minister to you. Alright. I've been in cases where God used a song I'd always known. Maybe, alright, back then, I remember an Hosanna Integrity, a Maranatha music song. And then you sing it at a particular time. Alright. And then in doing that, you just get amazed at how much revelation you get from a particular song to deal with a situation going on right there. And thank God for that. But I'm saying, the Holy Ghost could inspire a song to your heart. Song nobody's ever sang before. You never heard it before. And it rises from within you to be a blessing. It rises from within you to minister to people. Or even, primarily even to you. It just rises from within you. And then begin to sing. I remember a couple of years back. I mean, talking about what? 14 there about years ago. Where I came to the city of Jebu, they started a church. Things had not started, and sincerely, everything looked dark. I mean, when it's daylight and you still think it's dark, you don't naturally know the next step. You don't have an idea of the next thing you're going to do. You don't know the way you're going to go about it. Nothing. Right, I remember taking out some few days, pray, fast. I was ministering to the Lord, and then I began to sing. I've been through shadow times before. I will go through shadow times again because by His light, I can go through shadow times again. Because by His light, I've walked through every darkness. By His light, I'm going to walk through this dark. And I sang, it was a song. I just was rising up within me and I began to sing it. All right, so this is not just while I'm singing, while I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm going to be okay, okay, okay. No, it came, right? Prophetic. And I'm going to explain that in the next few minutes. Almost everything right now, you know, someone say, oh, we're having prophetic prayer. We're having prophetic praise. We're having a prophetic dance. So a whole lot of things are prophetic. You miss the point. Prophecy, basically, simple definition is spirit-inspired. So prophecy is spirit-inspired utterance. So maybe when you say it's a prophetic dance, maybe what you're saying is spirit-inspired dance, all right? So that it doesn't sound like one very esoteric, you know, high-level, you know, it's just the prophetic. Now, there is basic prophecy. Then there is the office of a prophet. They are not the same. And I trust him. I'll be able to mention that quickly also while we pass by all of this. But I'm saying psalms and hymns and spiritual songs they are not just, I copied something somewhere. They are given by inspiration. David sang these songs by inspiration to such a point that if they were prophetic. Really, like, I mean, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. I mean, starting from singing what, then he ended up in what? I mean, it just switches and the Holy Ghost takes over from there. But I'm saying, and I'm really saying to you, really, all right, there will be songs that will rise up within you that will minister to you. What used to even singing to minister to someone, and then we who even minister to those people, we're not okay, we're feeling bad, we're allowing life get the better part of us. So the same way we minister to them, the grace, the anointing of God is available for you. For you. In fact, the Holy Ghost would rather you take heed to yourself first than trying to take heed to many other people. Alright, you take heed. Now, not take heed like, I'm taking, I don't care, you know, I want to be okay, I want to go and discover myself. You cannot discover yourself outside the Word of God. You cannot psychologically discover yourself. You can't discover yourself outside God's Word. You have to get into God's Word and know who you are. And that's it. Alright, you get lost trying to do any other thing. So, we're learning, you know, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's prophetic, meaning spirit-inspired. And what we're dealing with today largely talks about the prophetic, alright? Now, once again, I'm not talking about the office of a prophet because of the difference. Let's see Acts 21. In Acts 21, so Paul and his company, alright, went to the house, Acts 21 from verse 8, alright? And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea and entered in the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, alright, one of seven guys from Acts chapter 6, one of the seven, and we stayed with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Please note that he had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Verse 10, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Jerusalem a certain prophet named Agabus. Please note, Steve Philip had seven daughters. I mean, why am I saying seven? Four daughters, all right, which were virgins.
and they prophesied. And then the next verse says, a certain prophet. So if these ladies were prophets, it would have been told that they were prophets. If Agabus just prophesied, it would have been told he could prophesy. But Bible was very specific here. Right? Term specific. They prophesied, he was a prophet. So any believer around you, or maybe you, that is given to prophecy, even often prophecy, doesn't still make the person a prophet. Please understand that. So we don't push people into offices. Someone could be, allow me to use the word use. Someone could be used in prophecy or given, right, to prophecy, or might be frequent in the gift of prophecy flowing, you know, through the person, does not make the person a prophet, all right? 1 Corinthians 12 explains gifts, yet again talks about offices, all right? 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to be a blessing to every man, all right? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Alright, and prophecy is one of the gifts of the Spirit given. So a believer could have that happen a lot more frequently in her life or his life. Don't say, wow, she's a prophet. He's a prophet. Maybe not. These ladies were not people who prophesied like once a year or three times a year for them to have been referred to as people who prophesy. It means once at the drop of a hat or drop of a pin, they would likely prophesy. And prophesy also would mean to preach. It means they likely were teachers and preachers, but they were ladies given to the inspiration of the Spirit. They were given to the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. This is beautiful, all right? So whatever training or whatever exposures, whatever they gave to themselves, Bible says this is available. So prophecy, all right? So maybe for purpose of today, if we say prophetic, we just basically refer, all right, to the believers, you know, ability to operate by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Numbers 11, something quite interesting, you know, takes place in the, you know, in Numbers 11. We'll pick it from the 24th verse, Numbers 11, 24. Right. You remember how that, you know, Moses had been complaining to God about the people, and then, you know, so God finally told him, you know what? Get 70 of the elders. I'm going to take of your spirit and I'll put it on them. All right. Deal. You know, so deal. So we'll get to the 24th verse. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, watch this, and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Oh my goodness. So God takes the Spirit upon Moses, puts upon 70 people, and then they begin to prophesy, and then they didn't stop. All right. Verse 26. But there remained two of the men in the camp. So actually there were 68, not 70, but I mean, we're told, okay, so he put them round, so we keep it. Please, it's interesting. Let's follow. Right, the name of one was Eldad, the name of the other was Medad. The Spirit rested upon them. I mean, they weren't in church, they were supposed to be in church, but the Spirit still came on them. Right, and they were them that were written, alright, but they were not at the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp, alright. And there a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of the young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. You know, if this were a movie, at this point I was going to like change this, you know, background music, maybe create an effect, because Moses is about to say something that is the mind of God for all time. Are you ready? So, whatever music I'm going to play. Alright, so he says, hey, these two guys didn't come to church, alright? So they are prophesying, they were yes supposed to be here, but they are not here, so stop them! Oh dear Lord. Alright. Verse 29, and Moses said unto him, envious thou for my sake? I would to God that all of his people were prophets, and that the Lord will put his spirit on them. Listen, Moses said, you're bothered about two people? It's just 70 of you guys here. I wish that all of you were prophets. I wish that the Spirit of God would come upon every one of you. Moses saw the future. Moses knew. I mean, Moses was a prophet. So Moses knew where the game was going. Are you getting this? Moses said, no, it's not about those other two guys. 70 is too small. All of God's children should prophesy. God's spirit should be on everyone, not just 70 people. That's where the game is going. All right, son is already like, I think I know where it's going. Yes, you do. Joel chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It gets exciting. Praise God. So Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's the word. So Moses had said it ahead of time. I would to God that all his children were prophets. That all his children could prophesy. That the Spirit of God will come upon everyone. And this is what God is saying through Joel. That in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Not on 70 people anymore. Not on kings, priests and prophets alone. Not upon judges of Israel alone. But all flesh, all flesh. I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. So this was spoken. This was spoken. Then we quickly run over to Acts chapter 2. Yippee, 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 yippee. Are you ready? This is exciting. Because we see the will of God play out. And this will encourage every one of us, you know, watching, it will encourage you. Alright, some of you already might be proficient in this, but someone around you might just need this, alright? So, Acts chapter 2, so it's the day of Pentecost, I mean, the guys are blasting out in tongues, you know, and then, you know, everybody gathered around could hear them. Verse 12, amazed NIV and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. I'm reading the NIV. They have had too much wine. Verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Now, you listeners, all right? Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Verse 18, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is it. This is it, guys. Peter is saying, listen attentively. This is it. Verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will see dreams or dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I love the double emphasis Peter used there, right? He used the word prophecy twice. The 17th verse and the 18th verse. 18 again, even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, they will prophesy. Of course, it goes further to talk about, alright, I'll show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth below, blood, fire, and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Alright, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, I want you to see the Amplified. I mean, oh dear Lord, this is exciting in the Amplified. Peter said something, and I just want you to see it. Are you ready? Alright, so Amplified Classic. Alright, that's 16 now. Let me pick 16 into 17. Alright, so 16 into, yes, 17. I found what I was looking for. So, you know, Peter said in King James, this is that which was spoken by Prophet Joel. But look at how the Amplified puts it in verse 16. Amplified, second, Acts chapter 2, verse 16. But instead, alright, okay, verse 15. For these men are not drunk as you imagine, for it's only the third hour, 9 a.m. of the day, alright, third hour in the morning. But instead, this is, watch what Amplified adds, the beginning of what was spoken through Prophet Joel. I love that. I love that. Amplified says, it is the beginning, and for real. That was the beginning. That was the birth of the church. So if God says in the last days I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, if 2,000 years about, you know, there about years ago, alright, was the last day then, I think we're like in the last days. Alright, Amplified says, this is the beginning of it. This is the beginning, and we've seen mighty moves of God. We've seen awakenings, great awakenings all over nations. We've seen things happen. Some of you have read the God's journals. You've read many other things. You've read about, you know, the 1930 revival in Nigeria. You've read stuff. Listen, all of that is still not the final outpouring. So, I think we're at it. I think we're waking up to where, you know, God is taking this whole thing. But Peter said, this is the beginning. In the last days, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. They will prophesy. Let me read the 17th verse, you know, in Amplified. And it will come to pass in the last days, God declares, I will pour my spirit upon all mankind. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels. Young men shall see visions, divinely granted appearances. Old men will dream dreams, divinely suggested dreams. Yes, on my men servants and on my maid servants in those days, I'll pour my spirit. All right, and they will prophesy, telling for divine counsels and predicting future events pertaining especially to God's kingdom. So he expounds it, all right. He moves now further into what we refer to as revelation gifts. We'll explain that better, but really, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all right. And then he's, you know, Amplified here is using it more as the foretelling, all right. That looking more like the prophet's office, but as the basic everyday prophecy, basic, simple prophecy. Just that simple gift of prophecy for the believer. Just that, hey, you are the believer. You have the capacity to prophesy. 1 Corinthians. All right, 1 Corinthians and the 14th chapter. 1 Corinthians 14. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. So 1 Corinthians 14, the first verse. Let me show you something here. Don't forget what Moses says. Moses said, I will that ye all will prophesy. Then Joel said, in the last days, you will prophesy. And then Peter now says, this is it. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Father, because this is it. This is it. So, 1 Corinthians 14, the first verse says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Follow love, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Are you getting that? Rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. No man understands him, but in the spirit he speaks mysteries. He that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, all right, to exhortation and comfort. This is what I'm dealing with, the basic gift of prophecy. All right, not naturally foretelling, all right, or foretelling, you know. And this is what's about to happen, and this is what's about to happen, and that will happen, and in 1928, and this will happen, and in 19, of course I know we're not in those days, but I'm just saying, alright? But that speaking to men to edification, to build up, exhortation, encourage, comfort, alright? Prophecy, edification, exhortation, comfort. That means you could teach God's word by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. You could encourage someone by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. You could bring comfort to people by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That means, watch this now. If I'm filled with the Spirit and then I will, by being filled with the Holy Ghost, alright, sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and they are under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that means that could be prophetic. And I said, for the purpose of today, prophetic is simple gift of prophecy I'm referring to, not office of a prophet. Because every believer has the Holy Ghost. Therefore, every believer can be inspired by the Holy Ghost to minister to someone else. Oh, but I still need someone to minister to you. Yes, but you must supply. Every one of us have something to supply to someone else. Every one of us. So there's the simple gift of prophecy. Now, I call it simple not because you're simple, but hey, it's not the office of a prophet that you need to now combine 2-3 revelation gifts put together. It's just God putting a word in your mouth, a song in your mouth, a statement in your mouth that will be a blessing, that would encourage someone. All right. Let me read that verse. All right. In what now? Let's speak. NIV. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. All right. Strengthening, encouraging, comfort. Verse, Passion Translation. But when someone prophesies, he speaks to encourage people, to build them up, and to bring them comfort. Are you getting that now? So he brings them comfort, alright? A message. But when you proclaim his truth in everyday speech, you are letting others in on the truth so they can grow and be strong and experience his presence with you. You're speaking to them in a known language and you're communicating God's counsel, God's love, you know, God's will to them. You bring comfort. And I'm encouraging you today. There's a word of comfort in your mouth, in you, for someone around you. Prophecy. Alright? It says desire prophecy. So we can desire to prophesy. Alright? I'll pour up my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. So, edification. Exhortation. Sometimes you just wake up thinking about someone. You might pray for the person. Sometimes it might have you pick the phone and call the person. Alright? And then you don't know why at first, and then the conversation ensues and you just hit on something. And that's it. Alright? I'm sure it happened to you. You know, it happens. You know, I think it was Kenneth Copeland I heard, you know, talk about Joel Osteen, John Osteen, the dad of Joel Osteen. He said, sometimes, you know, I mean, that John Osteen was such a great encourager. I could just pick up the phone, you know, and just say, hey, hello, alright, I just want to let you know. And then he just says something to you. Alright, have a great day, bye. And that has happened, you know, to some of them at the time where they needed to hear such. At that time, God could put someone in your heart and put, oh wow, she's trying and she's really putting in her best into what she's doing. You could pick the phone and text it. I just want to let you know that, you know, what you're doing is really, you know, is great. Keep it up. It could be at the very time, guys, where the person is being hit left and right to give up. Maybe funds for the project isn't coming in. Maybe feedback hasn't been great. And then yours just come as a needed encouragement at that point in time. It's just a blessing. It's just a blessing. There's a word. Are you out there? You're a singer. Don't just score some music all the time. It's okay. But don't just score. God puts a song or a word in your mouth for His people. Alright, God's people are gonna, you know, show up at the service. I mean, right now, online, but some churches are open, but God's people are gonna show up there, whether online or on-site, and you don't just grab the microphone, alright? And then just show up there and just, you know, you've scored it, you're gifted. Yeah, they will clap and scream and say, oh, we were blessed. Oh yeah. But God knows it could be taken a notch higher. You could bless them. You could go deeper and further. Alright? You could. Are you a Bible study teacher? A house fellowship leader? Minister to God's people? There's a word of encouragement. So it could be while you're praying, you just sense, can we pray about this? And then you're being inspired. This is it, guys. We're born again. We have the Holy Ghost living in us. And then we're filled with the Spirit. So you and I have got to let ourselves know that there is the inspiration of the Spirit. There is the inspiration of the Spirit. So you yield to it. All right? You yield. How do I know I was going to say the right thing? It takes faith to prophesy. I'll come back to 1 Corinthians. Let me read Romans. Alright, 12 verse 5, and then show you something there. So Romans 12 and 5. Alright, it says, so we being many are one body in Christ and everyone members of one another. Having then gifts, verse 6, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Alright, it takes faith to operate this gift, of course, and every gift. Remember the first time we had to talk in tongues? What am I going to say? How can I just say rubbish? How can I just say something? But then you yielded by faith, and then you've been talking in tongues. You don't even think of praying. It just flows automatic. Right? So the same way some are more proficient because they allowed the use of their faith. How do I know I'll be wrong? You would never know if you don't take a first step of faith. All right? And prophecy is as simple as Isaiah says, say to the righteous, it is well. You just feel, I need to encourage this person. Alright, I believe the Lord will have me tell you, because you believe in your heart, that's what God will have you say. I believe the Lord will have me tell you, it is well with you. Now the issue sometimes we now try to pad up and add, you could get into trouble trying to add. Alright, you could keep it simple. I believe the Lord will have me say it is well with you. Now when you say that and you believe that, it's as if there is more, stay there, say a bit more. But don't just, oh, let me add, let me explain, let me say a bit more. It's faith. Say a bit more. I believe all is well with you. You know, maybe your natural thinking could have been, no matter how bad things are, God is good. Maybe that's what you'd have said, but you're careful. Alright, you don't want to rush it. I believe the Lord will have to say, it is well with you. You know, it is well with you. It is well with you. And then you just might feel, oh, God has told you this already. So you're, oh, it's really a confirmation. So just, it came maybe like an impression in your mind, alright? And you'll say, I believe what I'm saying is not new to you. It's as if you've picked this recently and person could go, yeah. So you're using your faith now. Because prophecy is according to the proportion of faith. You're using your faith. And then you take the next step. Alright? Same for word of knowledge, word of wisdom, alright? But we're talking basically about that gift of prophecy. Word of knowledge, alright, is knowing, you know, having a revelation of something that happened in the past or happening right now. Word of wisdom is, you know, that divine revelation of something yet to happen. And then it's a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. It could start with a word. Sometimes you could be in a prayer meeting and all you just hear is peace. And then so anybody has a word, you could raise your hand. Well, while we're praying, I just kept on hearing peace. Right? I kept on hearing peace. So you could say that and stop. At least you took a step of faith. You heard peace, you said it was peace. Then you could take a step, alright? I just heard the word peace. Thank you, Father. Peace. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trouble, there is peace. And then, one line, next line, three lines, two lines, and then you stop. Proportion of faith. Listen, you listening to me feeling, but I've never prophesied before. As I'm talking to you, you will know that you've had those moments where you've felt like you had something to say. Yes. Go ahead by faith. What does it sound like? What does it seem like? What was the picture? When that impression came to you, what was the picture that followed? You know, you just saw someone lifted, saved. Alright? While we're praying, it was like as if I saw somebody lifted. And as you say it, listen again. It could be, while we're praying, I just saw someone lifted. Oh, wow. Yeah. It's as if, you know, God is saying, you know, you don't come with authority. Oh, God. No. It's as if. It's fine. All right. It's a step of faith. You prophesy according to the proportion of faith. All right. The wider the faith capacity, the easier it flows. All right. Because you're working it and you're growing in it. All right. It's as if God is saying, you know, and then sometimes you just feel person is to this side. You just feel person, if you don't have all that, it's all right. I mean, you don't have to get deep. Just begin. God is saying liftings, all right? Liftings. You know, it's as if, and then you pick it up. It's as if, and then you're done and someone says, thank you. Why? You brought comfort. And sometimes, you know, all prophecy is not just, God could even inspire you to pick a verse and exhort from that verse. Prophecy is edification to build up. Exhortation to encourage, all right, and then comfort. So I just sense in my heart, you know, God will have me remind someone here, cast all your cares upon Him, and then you read the verse out. God is saying somebody here needs to cast, all right, or it could be God is asking me, all right. God keeps saying up in my heart, trust me, and then you quickly check, where's that verse, right? And then check, oh, is this a verse? Oh yeah, it is. Oh, I believe God will have me read this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Then you read it out from Proverbs chapter 3. And then you know you're not the one trying to read the verse to show you, oh, I read a verse. No. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not, you know, you're trying to read the verse. No, I believe God will have me sit on here. Trust me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. 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 Lean not to your own understanding. Don't run to the left, to the right. God said He will meet the need. God said the need is taken care of. And just find yourself saying that. Just encouraging someone. Don't give up. Things may look bleak and bad. God says no, He would never leave you. Oh, God said He's never left you. And then you might just see someone crying or shedding tears. God says someone here, you feel God has abandoned you. But He has not left you. I'm just saying the simple. Alright, it's not the sister three rows back. Oh, you're wearing a blue skirt. Yesterday you wore a red gown, and day before that you drove a black car. I mean, it's not until it's that. I would that ye all will prophesy. Ye all. Oh, hallelujah. Let's look at the 31st verse. All right. Of 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 31, and then 39. 1 Corinthians 14, 31. All right. So here we are. Alright, it says, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and that all may be comforted. Now, he had earlier said, alright, too many prophets shouldn't operate in the meeting. But now he's just saying, all of you may even prophesy. That's prophecy. Say something to encourage someone, not coming with, oh, 3 months later it's going to happen, 5 months later it's going to happen. No, it's just prophecy. You may all prophesy one by one. Don't forget prophecy, the basic prophecy, all right, definition is speaking under inspired utterance, all right? But now, what will prophecy do? Basic prophecy, exhortation, edification, comfort, all right? But if I put it according to King James, edification, exhortation, comfort. Edification, it builds up. Exhortation, it encourages. Comfort, it brings comfort to someone. Alright, so that's what prophecy would do. So Paul says, you may all prophesy one by one. Alright, that all may learn and that all may be comforted. So God, by inspiration, alright, stirs up a word, alright, and you come up and just share 5 minutes, share 15 minutes, and someone is encouraged like, wow, that was a word I needed right now. Like, that was it. You might just be inspired by God to remind people, don't forget that the mountains will move the more we speak, the mountains. So it's not until it's, you know, 3 months. No, the mountains will move the more we speak, that some of us are relenting in the area of our faith and confession, and then we're being moved, all right? We're being carried away and depressed by the mountains around us. But God says to remind you, the mountains will move the more you speak. Speak, and the mountains will obey you. Speak, and then you say that, and the people are charged. Hallelujah. And then they are strengthened. The 39th verse of this 1 Corinthians, alright, says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, alright, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Covet it, alright, covet it. I mean, isn't that serious? Desire it. Want to. Covet to prophesy. Remember, alright, he had said earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, alright, that you should covet these gifts. Now he's saying covet to prophesy. Alright, to speak by inspiration, to me, be a blessing. Alright? Because when you speak in tongues, alright, have a message in tongues, you will need interpretation. So he had said earlier, that's the 5th verse now. Let's scroll up. Alright, 1 Corinthians 14. Alright, it says, I will that ye all, alright, speak with tongues, alright, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesied than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may be, alright, may receive the divine. Now that's because when you have a message in tongues, it needs interpretation, alright, but that's because you have an inspiration, or you have a message, you're inspired to give an utterance, alright, but it came in an unknown tongue, so it requires interpretation, whether from you or from someone else. And sometimes what you give is a tongue, someone, alright, it could be that person's language, so the person got it. But prophecy doesn't need it. Prophecy comes in the known language. So Paul is saying, covet to prophesy. Just yield to the Holy Ghost. Just yield. Just yield to the Holy Ghost. There's a word. I know it resonates with you what I'm talking about. You're praying and you just have that word. You just have a thought about someone. Alright, take step by step. Alright, we don't have to be cocky about it. I know what I picked. I know what God showed me. I know what I picked. Everybody will brag about what they picked then. It will lead to confusion. It would. Alright, you pick that the person should sit down, someone else pick the person should stand up, someone else pick the person should kneel down. Then who is speaking? Alright? So, we don't need to be really like cocky about it. And even when you think you perceive something about someone, don't feel, that person has missed God's plans for the person's life, all because you think you picked something. What if what you picked was 5 years down the line? Just what if? And what if what you picked was accurate, but God still needs to lead the person through the route the person is going to get the person to what you had picked? So you might just be too hasty to say, that person's wrong. And God is like, hey, I'm working. Or because I allowed you to see something, or you saw something by, you know, your spiritual exercises and all that, doesn't mean my working is disturbed. Let me work. I'm working. I'll get the person to where I'm going. Alright? So it's exciting. Alright? You know, it's really exciting. So it's a whole world of its own. But, you know, while we might be afraid of, you know, when too many people start prophesying, there'll be confusions. People start telling someone, that's your wife, this is your husband, you know, and all those kind of mess. Yes, I understand it could be messy. So we need to teach. We need to learn. We need to. So that the church of Jesus Christ is not just cerebral. It's a supernatural church. But then there must be allowances for the moves of the Spirit. There should be allowances for the gifts of the Spirit. I would that ye all will prophesy, not ye some. In the last days, I'll pour my Spirit upon all flesh, not some flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy, every one of them, because they've got the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory to God. You've got the Holy Ghost. You and I have the Spirit of God. You and I have the ability to flow, to move by inspiration of the Holy Ghost and be blessed. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're stepping out by faith this season. Is that all right? You're stepping out by faith. When that word comes to you, give it forth. Right or wrong, the only way to know is give it forth. It comes, you give it forth. It comes, just talk in tongues. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And glory to God. Glory to God. A word could come to your heart right now. It could come, it could be something you could sing. Alright, a new one. It could be something you could sing. It could be, I'll trust you in the midst of it all. I'll trust. It doesn't have to have 10 lines. It doesn't have to have, it could be one phrase. It could be one line. I'll trust you in the midst of it all. I'll trust you in the midst of it all. I'll trust you in the midst of it all. I'll trust you in the midst of it all. I'll trust you in the midst of it all. Then you can grow fuller. Cause you lead me. Oh, instruct me and you guide me every step of the way. I'll not let my mind get into the midst of this journey. I'll trust you. I'll trust you. I'll trust you. Cause it's you that I follow. It's you that you lead. It's you that I trust. Not my mind. Not the people around me, not my brain, not my works. It's you that I follow. So I'll trust you in the midst of it all. I'll trust you in the midst of it all. I'll trust you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Just flow on your own. I know you can. All right. I'll be back with you again next week. Please just keep flowing, all right? Keep flowing if you can. And I know you can find me on Spreaker, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Nigerian time. Let's get deeper, right, into God's Word. Just keep flowing, keep flowing, keep flowing. Just watch this again. Find it on YouTube. You could play this severally, all right? YouTube, Larry Excellency, and subscribe. Play this again and again and again and again and again and again. I'll trust you in the midst of it all. As it rises, let it come. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And psalms and hymns and, you know, to edification, exhortation, comfort. It will bless you. A word will rise to bless you. A word will rise to answer what you're going through. And it will rise to be a blessing to the people around you. Glory. Oh, glory, glory to God. Glory, glory. Glory to God. Thanks for tuning in. Yes, it's like we shouldn't stop, I know. But we gotta go, we gotta go, we gotta go. Oh, but you flow on. I mean, someone was telling me last week, you shouldn't have stopped. Did he have to be 45 minutes? Alright, like we shouldn't stop, but we gotta stop. Alright, so blessings, blessings, blessings. Have a glorious, glorious week. Alright, blessings. See you next Sunday.